Warning! This episode contains foul language, discussions of depression, anxiety, and organized religion, but it's full of magic.
Are listening to Keep It Weird, the podcast for all things strange, unusual, witchy, spellbinding, manifested, magical, and everything in between. Each week, we sit down with each other or a very special guest, and we talk about something weird. And this week, we happily get the honor of bringing on another guest for this season. We needed a very special person to join us today as we talk once again about witchcraft and becoming the witch you want to be. And for those of you just trying to learn more and jumpstart your witchy journey, sort of like myself, this episode is the one for you. We're going to be covering all of the witchy basics as we take questions from you, our wonderful listeners. It is an Ask Me Anything on Witchcraft 101. So grab your crystals, candles, tarot cards, book of spells, because class is officially in session. My name is Lauren, and this is my co-host, Ashley.
Hi, weirdos.
Hello. And of course, we couldn't have anyone else as our guest today besides our resident green witch who brings us amazing content on Instagram every single week on Witchy Wednesday. It is Laura LaRue.
Hello, weirdos.
Laura, hello. It's so lovely to hear your voice on the show again. I'm just sad we couldn't be there in person.
I'm so happy to be back. I know. It's a little different not getting to see your lovely faces, but this is a great substitution. Thanks, technology.
We love technology for giving us the three-way call. But I am so happy that we squeezed in an in-person session, though, with the three of us before you moved, Ashley. I feel like that was very special.
It was.
Yeah. Welcome back.
And before that, we did Buddhism, what was it?
No.
Reincarnation.
Not Buddhism. Reincarnation. I just remember one episode was something about Buddha. What was it? Oh, it was such a good title. Got a little Buddha in you.
Got a little Buddha in you. That's what it was.
Honestly, I just think about how I talked about LL Cool J for like 20 minutes in those episodes.
Yes.
Listen, it's not an episode of Keep It Weird if LL Cool J is not mentioned.
That's very true.
Good tangent. It was worth every moment.
For those of you who follow our Instagram, and if you're listening to this and don't, what are you even doing? Laura has been providing us with Witchy Wednesday posts for several months now, and they are truly one of my favorite parts of the week. We have covered the moon, different crystals, some spells you can do at home, some herbs you can grow in your garden or buy at the store, who cares, and even a delicious cake spell. That's right, you can literally bake a spell into a cake that tastes like heaven. Laura, what have you been up to? Have you been focusing on anything specific recently in your craft?
No, not really. I tend to kind of go by, like, you know, my current mood, what's happening in my life, the seasons.
Whether you're working or whether you're off.
Yeah. My craft really kind of revolves around just my ever-changing mood. So, you know. We are kind of gearing up for the summer solstice. That's going to be in a couple weeks, so looking forward to that. but yeah, just all around general merriness.
Living a witchy life.
Living a witchy life.
Living la vida witchy. That didn't work out as much as I thought. It's really
tried.
Fun.
What about you, Lauren? Have you? I gave you a deck of tarot cards.
Yes.
Before I left.
She gifted me tarot cards. And then what was very exciting for me is I had had a deck already that I had barely touched because I'd been lazy. It was COVID. I'm a mom. I have every excuse in the book. Really, it's just laziness. But I had a deck that I had only looked through a few times and had gotten the book like Tarot for Dummies, but just hadn't really done my research. So then what was really fun was when Ashley gifted me this deck, which is
you know, one of the best gifts you can receive is, you know, getting that deck from somebody, especially if it's somebody who you know is bitchy and wonderful. I was able to then turn around and gift my deck to somebody else, which was so great.
Awesome.
And I told you guys a little bit about it in our group text. I have a friend, and also he's a neighbor. He lives just down the street, and he's starting to get into crystals and tarot. And I am also a beginner, but he is even more of a beginner. So I have finally felt wise for once in my life, passing on the little that I know. So I gifted him the tarot cards and also told him how to cleanse and charge them, and he waited for the full moon to do it, which I just thought was the cutest thing in the world.
That's wonderful.
He sent me a photo of his cards and crystals sitting in the window, and I was like, look at you go! So it was sweet.
I mean, that's how it happens. Like, at first you feel like you know nothing about magic, and you're like just kind of like trying to absorb as much as you can.
Faking it until you make it.
And then all of a sudden, like, you meet someone and they're looking up to you and asking questions. And, like, I still couldn't believe when you guys were like, hey, do you want to come on our podcast and be, like, the witch expert? And
the
like, me? Like, what do I know about witchcraft? And then it's like, oh, yeah, I've only been, like, kind of doing it for the last, like, 4 years. And, like, it's just, it kind of, it snowballs. It really sneaks up on you.
Yeah.
It really does.
I didn't realize the information that had seeped in, that I actually had answers to his questions. But yeah, and then also not just handing things off, but as you said, you gifted me a tarot deck. And with this deck that I received from Ashley after I cleansed and charged it, I have been practicing a lot more. And it has been so, so much fun. And our Tarot Tuesday that we have also on our Instagram has been helpful as well, which is great.
Dude, I love Tarot Tuesday. Me too. I've been like doing tarot for probably like 7 or 8 years now. And like I don't do readings too much for other people because I just don't have the confidence. Like I can do them for myself. Yes. Like it's no problem. And then if someone else is there and they're like, do a reading for me, all of a sudden my brain is like, you don't know what these cards mean. Like I just don't have that confidence. And for whatever reason, doing Tarot Tuesdays, I know it's, you know, seeing the post, but I also have, I read them and I design the post for them and I put all the emojis in and I really have to like consume them every week. And now I feel like I will never forget the cards that I've done. Like every single week, I just, my brain is really retaining it and I feel like a lot more confident with tarot. So Busy Bee, thank you so much.
Way to go, Busy.
You're making us cooler.
Well, I was going to ask, has anybody also heard that thing about tarot where you're not supposed to buy your first deck? You're supposed to receive it as a gift.
That's what I always heard.
I've heard this. I don't remember where I've heard this, but it's something that's been in my subconscious. And the first tarot deck I bought for myself, like I did readings with it, but like it never was really for me. It never really seemed to be correct or like towards the situation I was looking for, more intent on. And then a past guest, Leah Campbell, actually gifted me a set. And since then, that set has been, like, so accurate, so uncanny.
I
use it all the time. So I think it's kind of funny that Ashley gifted Lauren a set, and now that's the one she uses. And you were able to gift somebody else a set. Like, I just think that's kind of – what a weird coincidence.
What a weird coincidence.
That's the thing is, like, I have such a belief in the gifting of tarot. That's why I made it a point to say I received it from Ashley, and that was so important because I truly never understood why I couldn't get into tarot with the deck that I had bought, exactly like what you said, but it just was collecting dust in the corner. And I was like, this isn't going to be for me, I guess. And then the one from Ashley, I've been so into. I want to practice. It excites me. It's just interesting.
Honestly, now that I think about it, so I collect tarot decks, so I have probably like 7 of them, and most of them are just like pretty, I like this deck, I like this design, it's cool, but the one deck that I always use for readings was given to me.
There it is.
But I never really put 2 and 2 together. I just sort of was like, this must be my favorite, but...
We're on to something.
Here we are. So this week, we are answering your questions. All the questions sent in were sent in by you, and we're going to get into it. And why not start at the beginning? Several people asked us, what inspired you to become witchy? We're going to start with Laura.
Oh, okay. So first off, thank you everybody who submitted questions. I was very
nervous about
doing an AMA because I've never done one. And I was kind of like, okay, we'll get one or two. But like, seriously, the outpouring from you guys, the feedback
couldn't
from you
even
guys
fit
was
them
absolutely
all in.
Wonderful. But yeah, so I guess I've always had a love of all things witchy. I guess I just didn't really know it was witchy when I was a little kid. I grew up loving witchy movies and like idolized Morticia Adams and Elvira and Sabrina. Mm-hmm. But even younger than that, I was like a little tomboy that spent all my time outdoors, like making hideouts in bushes and trees and finding cool looking leaves and funky sticks and shiny stones and like, you know, pretending to hear messages in the wind and talk to animals. And it's one of those things that looking back on it, it's like, oh, that's just... that's what being a witch is. That's what it's like to be witchy.
You have always been a witch.
Yeah, so I kind of, I don't know. It just was something that was always there just underneath the surface. I guess I would call myself a spiritual agnostic. I was raised Lutheran, but for many reasons, I left the church. Yeah, Lutheran. I guess I don't know why I did that. Cut that. Never mind.
I am a C. I am a C-H. I am a C-H-R-A-S.
Don't even get me. Don't even get me started.
Vacation Bible school songs will be stuck in my head forever.
Oh, my goodness.
Truly. All the time, I'll be sitting here and I'll be like, our God is an awesome God. He reigns. And then I'm like, what are you doing? Anyways, go on, Laura. I'm so sorry.
But yeah, so I'm a spiritual agnostic. I was raised Lutheran, but for many reasons, I left the church in my late teens. But there was never a time, like even when I left the church, that I didn't think there was anything out there. Like I never was an atheist. I believe there was a lot in this universe that we will never know or comprehend. And that was kind of an exciting thought to me. Like I didn't really know. I've always believed in a higher power. But I didn't really know what that higher power was. And I don't try to pretend that I have all the answers. I think that keeps my mind open and curious. In my mid-20s, I really didn't have a spiritual definition, but I did find myself longing for something tangible spiritually. And I started becoming very active outdoors, not like exercise-wise, but like hikes and walks and just being in nature. And I really started to feel like nature was my church. Putting in my feet in the ocean felt like stepping into the universe, and standing in a forest felt like standing in like a cathedral. I felt connected to something bigger than myself. And I think this is kind of what people mean when they say they like see God, only I didn't see like a single human like deity. I saw something bigger and incomprehensible and honestly magical. And around this time, one of my best friends gifted me like a witchcraft starter kit. I think she just was in it because she like we liked the witchy movies and we liked that aesthetic. So I don't think she gave it much thought when she gave me like a book and a cauldron and like all this different stuff. And when I got it, I was like, this is really cool. And it sat on my shelf for a little bit. But I started reading the book. It was called The Modern Witchcraft Spell Book by Sky Alexander. I talked about it on the last episode. And like, it just started resonating with me about the craft. Like, there's a lot I practice mostly pulled from paganism, but I really like that there's no one way to be a witch. I don't worship deities or have guardian angels, but my practice is like herbalism and green witchcraft, the love of nature, and just feeling a connection to the universe when giving back to nature and being in nature.
Yeah. Well, and also, I remember when you got, when you moved into your house with Tom in Burbank or in an undisclosed location.
Everyone's coming for Laura.
But when you got that yard, and I just remember how much time we all spent in that yard, and also when you started growing little things and you started like having fruit grow on your trees, and I just remember from there it was like Laura's the garden girl. That was like a something I identified you with from then on.
Garden witch.
That's how it started, is just like growing herbs in my backyard. And then when I realized that I could just start calling myself a witch and start making spells and start putting together tinctures and potions. Like,
yeah,
there wasn't anybody saying I couldn't do that. And it's one of those things I gave myself permission, you know? It's like,
yeah,
it kind of started sometimes as like a whimsical thing. And like, I kind of winked as I did it and like, oh yeah, I'm really making a spell. And then I realized I did feel better when I started making spells. I did see an improvement on my life. I was meditating on a regular basis, and it filled a hole that I didn't really know was there.
You didn't even realize you had in you.
Yep.
Lauren, I can almost guarantee I know your answer, but what inspired you to become witchy?
I'm sure you do, but I mean, obviously, Miss Ashley Cassidy is a huge inspiration.
Oh my God, I didn't expect that. I was going to say it's the craft. It's the craft. I know it's the craft.
I mean, listen, that was also going to be an answer, but I was going to preface saying that's my shallow answer because
love the shallow answers.
I have always wanted to be a character in the craft. I mean, Ashley and I both at different times have just looked at each other in the eye and been like, hail to the guardians of the Watchtower of the North. Like, I know we are both very inspired by them. But also, I think I was always scared of what being witchy or practicing witchcraft actually meant. And especially as I recovered Christian as well. I mean, grew up in Catholicism, but I don't even consider myself like a recovered Catholic because I just was never into the Catholic Church even growing up. But as an adult,
Catholicism is pretty intense.
Yeah.
It sure is. And I never enjoyed it. I always felt like I was being dragged there. So I don't even count that because I was never buying in. But Ashley knows this as an adult, and I guess our listeners do now. As an adult, I chose to go to a non-denominational, what I thought was a very progressive church, and kind of rediscover Christianity and see what it was all about. And I was fooled for years and went there. So that is more what I'm feeling recovery from. And it's kind of that same idea as you, Laura, so I won't harp on it too long. Just knowing I wanted something more, and I believe that there is some sort of higher power. Not exactly sure what that is still to this day. I still feel like I find myself in questioning everything. But I have realized that prayer has always felt natural, but I just want to do it in my own way. That was another thing that, like, you had to use certain language at this church that I was at. But I love that prayer really just turns into meditation and setting intention and manifesting in these other ways. And I can kind of do it in my own way, using my own tools, using my own thoughts, not trying to follow any rigid rules of a church. And that I do love the idea of setting intentions and, you know, making a strong statement of exactly what you want and what you're looking for out of life or what you want for other people. I think that is all possible, but I like the witchy way of doing things. And Ashley showing me that being a witch is not this big crazy thing as it's put to be in some of the movies, that like it is something you can practice at home with things that you already have. That really opened the door to me. And it's been a good way to come out of the church and know that I want something similar, but not as rigid. I don't know if any of that came out right, but
no, it makes
sense
to me.
It came out so right.
Okay, good.
I talked to someone recently about this. It was Toby, actually, who you both know. And because she had sent me a meme about how all girls have a witchcraft phase growing up. And I mean, I don't have many, if any, female friends who didn't have this happen to them in their preteens and teenage years. And I actually have a theory about it. A lot of people tie it to movies and television, Charmed, The Craft, Sabrina, etc. But I honestly, I think that helped, you know? I mean, those shows definitely help because they have images of witches who actually look like us as opposed to, like, you know, Hocus Pocus and totally. Wizard of Oz.
Green skin and long noses, yeah.
Exactly. But I think that young girls are drawn to witchcraft for the same reason that young boys are drawn to superheroes and monsters, because it's a time when our hormones are so out of control and we think to ourselves, like, there's no possible way anyone else feels like this. I must be different. And in an effort to understand more about ourselves and what's happening with us, we're drawn to archetypes like a witch with powers or a werewolf who transforms and grows hair and rages out, or a kid who gets bitten by a spider and it makes his body change overnight. Like, we're drawn to those things because we're literally experiencing them.
Totally.
It's also, it's a practice or religion to some, but it's a practice that makes a lot more sense when you think about it. Like telling me that God is in the wind and the trees and the flowing water and in fire and in dirt, like that makes sense to me. I can see that stuff. I can experience that stuff. I love that stuff. But telling me there's like a sky man no one has ever seen, but he definitely wrote a book about himself through several Earthmen who created you because he loves you. But also, if you don't worship him and follow his rules, he'll make you burn in hell for eternity. Like, that doesn't make sense.
No.
So for anyone yearning for spirituality, I think Wicca and witchcraft is extremely accessible because you could just go outside. Yes. And there you are.
That's exactly it.
But yeah, to answer the question for myself, I'm pretty sure I talked about this on the show before. I was introduced to witchcraft by a friend of mine in second grade who told me she was a witch and taught me a ton of stuff about our connection to the earth and the power that I have inside me to connect to it. And one day she initiated me into witchhood by smearing something that looked like tuna salad on my arm. And she gave me a glass egg and she told me I could control the wind. And you better believe I controlled the wind, or I thought I did. And
it's important that you thought you did.
I believe you did. But she had, here's the thing though, she had an egg where she could talk to animals. And I just felt like that it really wasn't fair that I got wind power and she got and she to communicate with animals. But it's fine. Yeah, we got through it.
That's the power really of flight right there. If you can control the wind, you can fly. And that's like everybody's like secret superhero power.
Yeah.
That's true.
True.
I did not ever make it that far. But from there, The Craft was released. Practical Magic was one of my all-time favorite movies. Oh, it was inevitable that I would end up here, really.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, there definitely is a very appealing aesthetic to like what you see in film and TV like when it comes to witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing all three of us specifically, we are so into film and TV that it was unavoidable, I think, to see those and go like, oh no, I want to be like that.
Well, and especially because I was never a popular person and I always like wanted to be more than anything, but I never ever was. So movies like The Craft and even Practical Magic, I mean, they were not the popular girls.
Yeah. They're the other. They're the outsider.
They're the other ones. And I was I identified with that as well.
Mm-hmm.
That question leads us to a question from Toby. Hi, Toby. Thank you so much. That I think we should address. And that is witchcraft tied to feminism? And
yes.
My quick answer, yes, it is.
Yes, 100% yes.
But not until recently, like recently That's as in like true. The first 100 years or so, because I mean, if you think of the archetype of the witch, the green face, big nose, like you talked about earlier, riding broomsticks, that's definitely pretty sexist, especially throughout history. Just as many men have been crucified for being quote unquote witches as women have. And generally throughout history, witch was thrown around to take down fucking anyone who people didn't like, or maybe like they wanted your land so they could just accuse you. It was an easy way. It's sort of easy like how target. Abortion, like unborn babies today are such an easy target for a certain demographic
because they
ask for nothing. Yeah, it's a cause that you don't actually have to do anything for. And witchcraft was the same way. All you had to do was say, that's they're a witch. So I've seen them do witchy stuff. And it's like, no further questions, Your Honor.
Yep, burn her at the stake.
We're going to hang them. It wasn't thrown specifically at women. However, the reasons that women were usually accused or targeted were definitely misogynistic, periods, living a lifestyle that was outside the norm, i.e. remaining unmarried and living alone, performing abortions, even just offering counsel to women, to other women that gave them some sort of power or confidence was considered like sacrilege. I don't know. It was horrible. So obviously, while revisiting historical events tied to witchcraft, yes, a lot of feminists and the feminist movement in general can relate very much so to societal reactions to witchcraft. But, you know, witchcraft, paganism, Wicca, it's not inherently feminine because it very much so celebrates the joining of feminine and masculine parts of nature and ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think that it can make you feel much more connected to yourself and empowered in that way. And that definitely appeals to our feminine nature. And also the act of gathering, cooking, caring, it's all fallen on women historically. So witchcraft absolutely enhances those traits. What do you guys think? Do you think like witchcraft is inherently tied to feminism?
So while I don't think that it's inherently like a feminine, I think it could be male and like female. Like, I don't think witchcraft has a gender. I do think it's like distinctly tied to feminism and a feminist act, because what you were describing before is women got in trouble because they were presenting themselves as an authority, as an expert, as someone that could give counseling or could give remedy and
medical advice.
Yes, men were also accused of being a witch when someone didn't like what they were doing, but a female, like a woman just being an authority on any subject was more regularly called a witch, was more regularly like,
you literally could just go swimming in a lake and they were like, witch, like if you showed any type of strength.
Just because it brought about misogyny from men, like that's not witchcraft. Like witchcraft is feminist, I think, because it gave a voice to the voiceless. It gave like power to women. And just because men couldn't handle it, you know?
Yeah.
They were misogynistic. Witchcraft, I think, is fully feminist.
Yeah. I mean, there's not much I can say that you both haven't said already, because I think it absolutely like the way witchcraft has come out more in society and is becoming more normalized slowly but surely. Obviously, there are still some haters, but hey, same with women. There are some haters who don't want us to have our rights. So I sort of think they do mirror each other in so many ways, even though, you can absolutely be a witch no matter who you are. You know, I don't think it's just... Yeah. Obviously on that side, which is what you guys were saying. But I just love that it is coming about in the same way that like women are fighting for their rights in every way, as we all fucking should. I think witchcraft is coming up that way too. And I was reading a little bit after this question came across, that Scotland was like a country that actually had to formally apologize to people accused of witchcraft because they had learned so much more. And they had to kind of go back on that. And that feels also very similar to at least some of the good people in our society who have apologized to women and have said, you know, we need to fix things. And I'm so sorry that you live in a world that is this way. I just like that is starting to happen, even if it's not in our country yet, that other people are recognizing and saying, I am so sorry. We just didn't know enough. Like, practice what you want to, blah, blah, blah. It's basically, you know, going to be recognized as another form of religion, as it should. So
you think about major religions around the world, and the only major religions that aren't just steeped in misogynistic views and the stripping away of power of women are Satanism, Wicca / witchcraft, paganism, obviously. And I'm sure there's some like smaller sects that are sects.
Thank you for clarifying.
Aren't misogynistic, but I mean, Christianity, Lutheranism, Catholicism, Islam, like even the Jewish faith. I mean, the Jewish faith is a little bit better, you know, but there's still a lot of misogyny built into that faith. So that's also kind of hard for religions like witchcraft and paganism, because they are lumped in certain categories like that, like feminist categories, power to women, not stifling women with things like Satanism, which they are not the same thing.
No.
Witches don't believe in Satan. So
right.
Can't be the same.
Can't lump them together.
I think people really struggle with religion being fluid. Like, everyone is like, what category of religion are you? Are you a witch? Are you a Christian? Are you a Satanist? Right. Are you...
It's like, I'm a little bit of it all.
I really... What drove me to witchcraft is the fact that you could kind of interpret it in your own personal way. And I do think religion, your belief, your spirituality should be very... like individualized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what you believe and what works for you and what matters in your life. What I believe is not going to be the same as what you believe, totally. What the person next to me believes. And I don't think it should. I think we as a society have kind of gotten in comfortable with like, oh, okay, you're Christian. I know the rules then. But like, I mean, let's open it up a little bit. Like, let's be a little spiritually fluid. Like, let's mess around a bit.
Well, that's a great question to go into now then. This question was sent in to us by Andrea. Thank you, Andrea. Is it possible to have faith in God or follow a religion and practice witchcraft?
100%.
Yep.
God is just another deity.
Yeah.
I personally don't believe in deities, but I think I'm a minority when it comes to that and witchcraft. I know a lot of people who follow a lot of deities. And by deities, I mean, like, yeah, you can follow God. You could follow Buddha. You could follow Hecate. You could follow Zeus. I mean, I think everyone's just trying to put a name on something that, like, we're all describing the same thing, but we're getting bogged down in the terminology. I absolutely think you can be Christian, believe in the Holy Trinity, and also believe in magic because, you know, you kind of have to go along with, you know, Jesus rose.
I was gonna say, if you believe in wine.
Yeah, turned water into wine. Like, they were using magic the whole time. So, right. Yeah, no, I 100% think you can be Christian and also be a witch.
Jesus was a party witch. Like, Jesus was turning the water into wine.
Right?
Party witch, everybody. my answer to this is just kind of funny because I absolutely believe that both can exist. And I feel like I have said that so many times on this show, just in different forms, as somebody who, again, came out of Christianity saying, I do think I still believe in God. Again, I'm working on it. I have a lot of questions. But I do have this faith in a higher power. You know, I am struggling to let go of the religion, everything that was practiced at church. However, I am still going to practice witchcraft. I am still going to go on my, I know this is a side note, but like the ghost hunting investigations. I've had to defend myself there where it's like, I can be a believer and still do all of these things that are equally connected to the universe that supposedly God or whoever created. So like, why can't we all just coexist? So I've always felt that way. But the funny part is I still have some friends who are pretty deeply tied to Christianity that I, you know, like, that's fine. They go to church on Sunday. We all live our separate lives and then come together. But one of my friends recently, she had just left church and then she immediately went to yoga. And she was like, during yoga, I was setting my intentions for the year and just like really getting in touch with myself. And then I started crying because I so deeply felt like I like resonated with my intentions and they were going to come true because like my body is ready and I'm going to put in the work. And I screamed, you're
like,
a witch.
Okay, witch.
Girl, you're a witch. And she like crumbled to the ground laughing. So I was like, witch, you're a witch. And she laughed because she was like, I am a churchy witch. And I was like, and that's fine. So I just like having those
church
conversations
witch.
with my Christian friends of like, hey, let's do both.
Yeah, I mean, so if you're practicing Wiccan, that is an actual religion. And I think you'd find a lot of conflicting beliefs if you were to practice another religion simultaneously. But witchcraft is more like Buddhism. It's a practice. And it's called a practice and not a religion because in witchcraft, there are no entities that are worshipped. You can work with deities, obviously, especially if you lean more on the Wiccan side. I think that's where a lot of the deities and things come in. And you can work with them for sure, but they're not worshipped really as much as they are, you know, respected, appreciated, worked with. But yeah, you can, for example, be a Christian who worships God as our creator and believes that story and also practice Buddhism or witchcraft to enhance that spirituality. I think that kind of answers another question that was
just
in.
About to say,
what is the difference between Wicca and witchcraft? And is there a difference? And there absolutely is.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think those terms are interchangeable for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But you can, and I do, practice witchcraft without being Wiccan. I'm not Wiccan.
Same.
Right.
Same.
Same here.
I think it's kind of like all Wiccans are witches, but not all witches
exactly.
are Wiccans.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
is it. I could not
that
put into what words is. What I was meaning, Laura. Yes.
But I think, like, absolutely, you can worship God, like the God, and also use herbs and spells to enhance that belief. Like, offerings are offered to God and Jesus and saints all the time. Drinking the blood of Christ in communion is incredibly pagan. The wise men brought Jesus frankincense and myrrh. Like,
you don't get more herbally than that.
That's how you cleanse a sacred space, you know? Like, frankincense and myrrh is still used. Like, there's a lot of like crossover.
Yeah, and not only is it used in, like, the craft, but also it's been used in traditional Chinese medicine for thousands of years before Christianity was ever invented to treat chronic diseases. So mix it all together. Create a spiritual practice that works for you. Now, I have to add a caveat because it depends on how much you believe in the teachings of the Bible, which you do have to take into account. If you are a Christian who absolutely believes in the teachings of the Bible, then you are not permitted to practice witchcraft. You're also not allowed to meditate, read your horoscope, see a fortune teller, do yoga, or read self-help books because you are seeking power and enlightenment from something other than the Almighty, and he is a jealous son of a bitch.
That is funny because, like, people, if anybody listening does agree with that, then they are like, Lauren's friend is going to hell immediately because she went to yoga right after church.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, there's a lot of people who believe in God and are consider themselves Christians but don't believe that the Bible is like the end all be all faith.
Yes, and that is is most people that I know, and that's even but, like I mean, somewhat that's myself. Yes,
every Christian I've ever met, because they wouldn't be able to wear modern clothes, they wouldn't be able to cut their hair, they wouldn't be able to eat bacon, which I know they fucking do. Like, that's 1,000%. Every single Christian I've ever met. So, you know, grain of salt, but it depends on you and your beliefs and what contradictions exist where.
Absolutely.
But let's move on to some specifics. I'm going to start with a question sent in by Jordan. Thank you, Jordan. And I know we're going to start with Laura on this one because she really went for it. How do I correctly set up a space for spells?
Yeah, so there is a lot you can do to set up a space for spells. Okay, when you want to set up a space to do spell work and create a sacred space, you'll start by kind of cleansing the area you've designated as your sacred space, whether that be like a home office or maybe somewhere in your backyard. Or honestly, you can designate your whole entire house if you want to. It's just open you can be with it. Start by cleansing your space. You can do this by like smudging with incense. You can do this by literally taking a broom and sweeping out the area. It's just a way to kind of focus your energy and remove unwanted energies or influences and any bad vibes that might linger.
Yeah. And when you are sweeping, don't mindlessly sweep. Like, think of that constantly, that you are sweeping out bad energy. You are sweeping out, like, you have to intend to do that thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like a meditative form of cleaning. You really are just cleaning your house, but like, kind of really think about what you're doing and begin in the east and work your way counterclockwise around the room or your house, kind of like in a circular fashion. I know not all rooms are set up like this, but do your best. True. You can do it in like a succession of three, like sweeping around three times. It's not mandatory, but I mean, a lot of people use the power of three in witchcraft.
Like the Holy Trinity, perhaps.
Oh, you know, there is a lot of overlap. Everything is connected, baby.
Hey, when you're going into one of those Catholic churches, they start by smudging the entire church. So you smudge your area
with their fun little smoke purses.
Man, do I want one of those. When they're swinging that gold thing around, I love it. Smoke purse. 1,000%. Name of this episode, the smoke purse.
Then you want to silence all distractions, turn off your phone. If you have any pets, get your pets out of the room. Then establish your intention. Unless you have a clearly defined reason for doing a spell, don't bother. It's simply a waste of time and energy. And your efforts may go awry. Write down your intention. I do that a lot. It really helps me. But just have your clear intention in mind. Next, you'd want to compose your spell. Think about your desired outcome and what energies you wish to harness in order to help you achieve this outcome. You'll want to collect all the ingredients necessary for your spell, cleanse the items before bringing them into your space, and you can do this simply with, like, warm water and soap. If it's something you don't want to get wet, maybe use your incense and smudge it. Shift your consciousness, and you can do this by lighting a candle or meditating or doing whatever you can to shift your thinking from the mundane to the magical.
Yeah. Breath work is really good.
Oh, yeah. Try not to let ordinary thoughts intrude on your elevated mental state. If you're working with other people, don't talk unless you're chanting an affirmation or performing another verbal part of the spell. Next, you'll want to raise your energy. Some people do this by chanting or humming or drumming. Breath work is great for this. Whatever feels right for you, envision yourself drawing energy up from the earth and into your body.
Some people like to dance.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've never done that, but more power to you if you have the confidence to dance.
I'm not good like at no it, but watching. I try the dancing. It doesn't look great, but I'll do it.
If you choose, you can invite other entities to participate in your spell. Angels, spirit guides, guardians, totem animals, ancestors, or elementals. Any other non-physical beings can provide protection and assistance during spell work. After that, perform your spell. Once completed, release any entities and energies that may have assisted you. Open up your circle and dismantle your magical space. Extinguish your candles. Collect your tools and any other items you brought into the circle. Manifestation is really just bringing about the intentions that you put forth in your spell into your everyday life. So if you are, I don't know, trying to be more at peace, just like start practicing that in your everyday life. Like, remember that spell, carry it with you. If you've enchanted something, put it in your purse, put it in your pocket, put it on your mantle so you see it every day. Like, manifestation is really just bringing about whatever goal you've set for yourself into your life.
It's basically not just like walking away from the spell and being like, well, that's done. Dust my hands off and then forget about it. Well, and I think so when you do set up a space, I think this is one of the more freeing aspects of witchcraft in that it is specialized to you. Like, yes, cinnamon is traditionally used to enhance spells, especially spells involved with luck, prosperity, etc. It's supposed to help the spell work more quickly or give it an extra boost. But if cinnamon to you, like it is for me, has always been associated with family for whatever reason, then you can use it in spells regarding family or familial relationship. It's all about you. And therefore, like, setting up an altar is sort of the same way. It's all about what you want in or around that space, that altar. If you, I kind of thought of it as like an altar space, but it doesn't, you don't have to have an altar.
Well, and your altar is kind of just like your workbench. So, like, it could be a mantle, it could be a table, it could be, an ottoman box. That
mine is a bar cart. My bar cart. I will clear off all of the alcohols. Listen, I'm not just, you know, sitting over here being a lush, but bar.
Just carts. Use them it as can offerings. Whatever. You can, pour them in a bowl
I
and offer it to your ancestors.
Tito's vodka. Enjoy.
Hey, your ancestors may like that.
I think when it comes to setting up your space, it is more important where it is set up, and not because some places are more magical than others, but simply that it needs to be your space. Like it, like you said, it should be free of distractions. It should be private. It should be in an atmosphere where you feel comfortable and able to do those things, meditate and center yourself. I know a lot of people who choose to put their space and their altar in a closet. So it's completely private and away from others. But some people like to display their altar, especially if they're in a place where they know it's safe from people and animals and whatever else. But I do want to talk about some elements of an altar or space. So Demi wrote, and she asked, is it bad or wrong to buy crystals online? And how do you cleanse and charge them? And I want to hear what you have to say, Lauren.
Well, this is personal for me. As we have been saying, you know, witchcraft can be personal to you. What I have tried to do is buy crystals at places that seem the most reputable to me. Not always online, but I have been guilty of it. But like, for example, I was in Austin recently for a gals weekend, and there are so many places in Austin where, you know, you walk in and all I can say is like, this is a woo-woo store. Like, that's the best thing to call it. Like, everybody there were pendulums, there were crystals, there was everything. And the owners genuinely were helping me along my journey as I was looking for a crystal. They were helping me with the pendulum. They were talking about picking things out that speak to you or whatever you're seeking. And I love finding shops like that where you can tell the owners are actually into what they're talking about. They practice it regularly. So I got some crystals there. In the past, I've gotten some places in the Valley, Burbank, NoHo, shout out, have so many good little shops, little ma and pa shops. But I have absolutely been guilty of buying them online. And maybe you guys will
yell
at me and say that's wrong. But I have bought a few. I do cleanse them. I like to wait for a full moon, if I can, to put them out there in the windowsill, and I, you know, will set my intentions on them, leave them in the moon overnight, and in the morning, I believe that they're cleansed, and I can put them more into my practice. But I feel like I put much more of a cleansing, charging, you know, priority when I buy them online, because I have this idea in my own head that I'm like, these are terrible. This isn't going to work. But I don't think that's true at all, because I've never encountered a problem.
No, I think you can buy crystals anywhere as long as you make sure you're buying something real and not fake.
Yes.
And that you're buying things that are sourced ethically. I think that's a huge part of the craft, especially, you know, we've talked about this before, like white sage. Like, you don't buy white sage. One, culturally, it belongs to indigenous people. It's sacred medicine to them. It's not just a fun little thing to do. And it's been completely stripped of its cultural significance. And watering that down, a sacred act of a group of people, especially a marginalized group of, it's just icky. Like, you don't want to do it. But also, two, it's only native to Southern California and Northern Baja. It's the only region in the world where it grows naturally. So if it is sourced from these areas, that's not great, because it's crazy important to their ecosystem and for the pollinators of that area. So you don't want to deplete that either. There are indigenous people who have taken to the internet to teach you how to use white sage. So if it's something that you are interested in using, or just you crave using it, then just go to the people who actually know it in and out and learn how to do it the right way. But yeah, for crystals, it's the same way. Just find out where they source, where how and where they source them. Yeah. So that you're not buying a blood diamond or some shit.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, like, my gosh. Please no. But yeah, having a conversation with the owners of the shop, like, that's a perfect example. Obviously, in some cases, even if they are, you know, dressed in the garb and showing up in a way that seems like they can be trusted, if you start asking them questions and they get a little, you know, shady about it or iffy, then, you know, you might need to do a little more research on where they get the crystals. Yeah. But I just think opening up that conversation, you will quickly find in most situations that if they are actually ethically sourced crystals, that the people who are selling them will have those answers. They will have the story behind them, and they'll be able to kind of teach you and help you, even give you advice. Like, those are the places to buy from.
Yeah. Even small Etsy stores are a great place, like, if you wanted to buy them online, because you can actually talk to the owner, as opposed to, you know, ordering them from Amazon, where maybe you can't. What do you think, Laura? Do you think it's okay to buy them online?
Yeah, you guys touched on everything that I was thinking about this question. I think buying online is totally fine. It's no less magical than picking them up in person. There's definitely pros to being there in person and, like, feeling the texture and feeling the color and having the its weight. Energies speak to you. Mm-hmm. But not everybody has a metaphysical shop in their hometown. So, like, buying online is absolutely fine. But, like, when it comes to everything in witchcraft, in magic, your intention is so important and the context is so important. So I don't think it's probably the best to buy from, like, Amazon or Walmart or those big corporations. Look for the mom and pop shops. They're not hard to find. And yeah, everything you said about appropriation when it comes to why are you buying this ingredient for your craft, make sure that it's appreciative and not appropriative. I don't think appropriative is a word, but you know what I'm
saying.
It
is now.
Yeah. It makes sense.
Also, just a quick note, there are so many ways to cleanse your crystals. You can do it with the moon or the sun or your breath or with salt water or with other crystals or with incense or sage. Honestly, it's another one of those things. What works for you?
Yep.
I use regular soap and water when I first get it. Yeah, like look when I that. First bring my go. Crystals home, I just use warm water and soap. If I'm charging my crystals, I'll do moonlight, I'll do sunlight, I'll get a little more into it. But no, when when something enters my house, warm water and soap.
Yep.
Yeah, also it's nice to just wash things that are entering your home in general. Also so that's that. Just that's just
especially
good advice.
If you're handling them with your hands.
Right.
Yeah.
Good advice.
Now, we do have a question about runes, which all three of us, we don't really work with runes. But Dave asked, are there any runes or symbols to aid with depression, self-love and acceptance, and or emotional healing? Like I said, we don't really work with them. But Laura, you did some research. So you're an angel.
Yeah. Coincidentally enough, my sister-in-law actually gave me a deck of runes for Christmas this year, and I had not opened them up yet. So, Dave, I did it just for you, babe.
You got it, Dave.
Just in case, because it's brand new to me, I'm going to read a little introduction on what runes are, just for anybody who might not know. Runes date back to more than 2,000 years. They make up an ancient alphabet system used mainly by Germanic peoples in Northern Europe before the advent of the Latin alphabet and the rise of the Roman Empire. Vikings spread the rune alphabet through Europe, resulting in numerous variants, but the earliest known and most established is the 24-letter rune alphabet called, goodness forgive me, Elder Futhark?
Sure. Listen, I didn't know runes were an alphabet. Go on.
Mm-hmm. So they kind of work like tarot cards. People use them for divination. When divination is mentioned, many of us think of fortune telling, but divination is simply a means of gaining greater insight into yourself. Using a divination system such as runes can help trigger intuitive decisions.
Just like tarot cards.
Yeah. Using a divination system such as runes can help trigger intuitive associations. When a specific rune symbol is chosen at random, that symbol is interpreted for a deeper meaning and signals. So, yeah, I had a lot of fun going through this deck, learned a lot of new things, and I picked out a couple that I think would be, you know, just fantastic for self-love, acceptance, emotional healing, and just to bring that all-around good feeling up. I am someone who battles depression ever since I was, like, a teenager. So, Dave, you're speaking my language. The first rune I pulled is called Wunjo. And maybe we can put this on the Instagram or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
This rune is all about joy and benefits of positivity. It tends to indicate happiness, success, and harmony, and exciting new beginnings. The joy can be inspired by either external events, fulfilling relationships, or an unexpected but very welcome development. It can also refer to a quiet inner joy derived from feelings of gratitude and peace. So if you're just looking for a little pick-me-up and you want to have a rune represented, take this card, take this tile, put it on your mantelpiece, look at it every day, and just know that that rune's for you is to tell you to cheer up, buddy.
Yeah.
So good.
Remind yourself to be happy.
Yeah. The next one I pulled was called Sawilo. It is closely associated with the sun. This rune card is bursting with natural life, energy, and light and radiance. Illumination is a dominant theme along with clarity of vision and the defeat of dark forces and confusion and negativity in your life. You are, or soon will be, experiencing great success, and the only obstacle preventing you from enjoying this joy and light is your own belief that you are not worthy of the success. Mm. Work on extinguishing those negative assumptions within yourself. Achievement can be yours if you change your attitude, think positively, and trust yourself. The sun is the life force, so this card is a very auspicious sign in any reading. But there is a warning, just as flying too close to the sun can get you burned, be careful and where and how you direct your energy.
Good.
Interesting.
The last one I have is the Thwagwaz. The Gwaz is a rune card associated with the dawn and daylight and is therefore a symbol of new awareness and hope. To ancient Norse peoples, each new dawn and the welcome light from the sun breaking through after nighttime uncertainty was a miracle. So whenever the Gwaz appears in a reading, it tends to be a very good sign indeed. Success is in the cards. However, to ensure that the success materializes, is important that you continue on a path of self-improvement and think and act positively. Hope is also a crucial ingredient for success in life. So if you are going through tough times, this card reminds you that darkness is always followed by the dawn and new awakening.
You know, what I heard over and over again was light and sun, light and sun, light and sun. And buddy, get outside. Like, seriously, yeah. Light and sun. And like, even just maybe having something in your house that has even, you know, those alarm clocks that wake you up with like natural light or whatever, or like, you know, simulated natural light, anything like that. Like maybe your living space is too dark. Maybe you need to open some curtains. You know what I mean? Like literally all I kept hearing, everything that bounced out to me was light and sun. Get some light and sun.
Right.
And when you get the sun and you see the light and you see the sun, make that be your rune. Make that be your reminder. Like, oh yeah, the world's still spinning. I should be happy today.
Right. You can hear the birds chirping in the trees when you're outside too, which like can be this comforting, like, okay, absolutely, the world is still moving around me. Like nature is working. Let's go.
And also, I feel like a lot of people associate like tarot and runes with something that like gets pulled for you, like you have to chance upon it. But no, if you have a card that speaks to you, if you have something to that speaks to you, pull it out yourself, display it on your mantle, display it on your desk. Like just, it doesn't need, you don't need to wait for it to come to you. Sometimes you have to be proactive.
Yeah, there was
just have it in front of you.
Quite some time where I wanted to be reminded of a certain tarot card, so I bought it in patch form and I sewed it on a jacket.
I love
that. Like you can do it. Some people tattoo it on their arm. It's just a matter of like seeing it and having it be a constant reminder.
Hold it to your heart. Yeah. Also, I just wanted to say, like, it can be a card or a tile, but also something that I found when I was looking into runes is it can be a piece of stone, it can be wood, it can be a little pebble, it can be a crystal.
Jewelry.
We're talking about. It can be a bone, metal. So you can hang it around your neck. You can have it in your jewelry box, whatever. Like, it comes in every form with these little alphabet letters on them. Yeah. So do whatever works
Painted
for you.
Paint it on a manicure. Like it can be whatever.
Yeah.
My only note on this is that if you are suffering from depression, anxiety, and emotional healing, you should seek treatment through a psychiatrist. Obviously, you can supplement with witchcraft in the form of spells and runes and crystals. But if it's an ongoing problem or it's something that seriously affects your day-to-day life, you do need to seek help from a professional who could guide you through it. I know we've all three of us have been there. So, but this does lead us to a great question sent in by Beata. Beata asked, what are some ways witchcraft can help with anxiety? Do you guys mind if I take this one?
Please.
Go for it.
Witchcraft literally helps with my anxiety constantly. And I actually don't believe it has anything to do with specific spells or charms or potions. It is simply the meditation and the connection to nature. Like witchcraft is how I get those things done. I'm an indoor cat. As much as I love the outdoors, I don't go outside a lot. You've really got to drag me out on my harness. And once I'm out there, I'm like, oh, it's nice out here. But like, you really have to like, you've got to like trick me with a bone or something to get me outside. And witchcraft and its constant need for connecting to nature gets my ass outside. And I honestly, to this day, don't know if I've ever made a spell that worked or did what it was supposed to do, but I always feel better afterwards. And it's because spell work is genuinely a form of meditation. You are clearing your mind. You are focusing on what you are doing. So if you're a person who meditation has never worked for, you can't keep, you know, those intrusive thoughts from bursting into your brain, try a spell, because you are clearing your mind, you're emptying your brain, you're pushing thoughts away, but you've got an action to go along with it that helps to keep you focused. And in that way alone, it helps tremendously with anxiety. And I do want to recommend the book, The Witch's Book of Self-Care by Erin Murphy Hiscock. It's amazing. I think there's a couple of those books, The Witch's Book of This, The Witch's Book of That.
Yeah,
the self-care one is awesome. And then also, I'm posting in our newsletter this month a full anxiety spell that I do all the time. And again, I don't know if it's the act of doing the spell or the spell itself, but it works every single time. So I'm going to be posting like literal step-by-step process in the newsletter this month. But you guys, you're both anxious little birdies. Does it help you with your anxiety?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, really for the exact same reasons that you just touched on.
Mm-hmm.
I actually went a digging and looked for specific ingredients that I like to use in my anti-anxiety spells.
Okay.
If everybody, I was going to say, the day we're recording this, I did a Witchy Wednesday on kind of fighting off your anxieties
yeah.
and calming your nerves a little bit.
It's actually really good timing.
Yeah. Well, and I'm wearing it around my neck right now.
Yes.
But I mean, lavender is so good for just all around relaxation. It's great for sleep, but it's also good for just calming your nerves. So if you're an anxious person, keeping lavender essential oil in your home and maybe just keeping dried lavender present would be a nice way to keep you calm. If you're looking for a gemstone that might help, obsidian provides strength to face obstacles and helps you break old habits. I actually keep like a pillar of obsidian on my altar.
Yeah.
Roses, pink roses increase self-love, and yellow roses enhance creativity. I use these a lot in my ritual baths when I'm feeling like a little unsure of myself and just need that extra little boost.
That's an easy one to remember, too. Like, rose equals love.
Yeah.
It's not romantic love, just love in general.
Just
self-love included.
It's such a symbol of it already.
Yeah. And if you want to use it in cooking, majoram encourages cooperation and supports life changes.
Have I even ever had majoram?
Love that.
Couldn't tell you.
I know. I'm like, need to find it.
I was going
to
say, it's a common like herb. You can use it in like fish and chicken dishes. Like it kind of tastes like sage or oregano.
Okay.
Love it. Love it already.
Yeah. Very mild.
Honestly, lavender, I know it's like, it's the most basic B of the things that you can use. But I loved that you said that, Laura, because I always have some type of lavender on me at all times. And even like, reasons that I'm thankful for Los Angeles is that they have super bougie hipster coffee shops that offer lavender coffees and teas and matchas that I've never found anywhere else. So I like will put it into my drink. So it's like lavender can be involved in my cooking. It can be involved in my bath or shower. It can be worn around my neck. It can be an essential oil that I'm just rubbing on my wrist before I start the day. Like I am just an anxious human being that bites off my nails at all times, and lavender has been my savior. And I mean, the practice of witchcraft in general, I mean, goes along with that. I don't need to repeat everything that Ashley said, but it has changed so many things for me. Even just one quick example, this last Friday, my band had a show, and when we were performing, we hadn't performed in a long time, so I was getting the nerves, I was getting the anxiety, I was feeling insecure, like, my voice sucks, everybody hates me, but I rolled on some lavender, and I had a lavender tea, I just, like, doubled down.
I love that.
And went all lavender beforehand. And also, like, the mix of the lavender and honey in my tea, like, really chilled my vocal cords out and really put me in a good place so that, like, my voice, I can't even lie, I looked back on some of the videos and I was like, I sound great. This was a good performance. And it is so rare that I feel that confidence. But I really think, you know, doing my breath work, taking all of those deep breath moments beforehand combined with the lavender was huge for me. And that's just one small example where I was like, okay, this really has changed me as a person when it comes to dealing with my anxiety. I could have just gone there like shaking and having a heart attack and blaming everyone around me for how I was feeling, but it was great.
Well, I mean, you can look at lavender as like, oh, it's the basic bitch, you know, form of, because it's at all Bath and Body Works, all this, all that.
Yes.
But there's a reason for it. There's a reason, because
like,
it
there's a reason it's there.
Induces a peacefulness, a calmness. It's anti-anxiety, and like that's why it's been commercialized and mass-produced for that reason.
Yeah.
I just wanted anyone out there to be like, yeah, lavender. That's why I said the basic B comment. But no, it lives up to its reputation.
Everyone should be saying, lavender.
Yeah, lavender. Get it, lavender. Lavender fucks.
The best.
And if I could, I just want to take... Oh, my God.
Sorry.
That's great. That's amazing. No, I just want to take a second, too, since these last two questions really kind of touched on mental health. Mm-hmm. I want to say the one of the most magical things for me is therapy.
Therapy.
Yep.
It's one of those things where, I mean, I don't want to give off the impression that, like, everything in my life is fixed through magic, that I have a spell for everything. No. Like, no, I still, like, therapy is one of those things that kind of enhanced my craft and enhanced my spiritual belief. Yeah. It's kind of came about around the same time I started getting into witchcraft is when I also got into therapy. And if you are struggling with depression and if you are feeling overwhelmed by your anxiety, talk to your insurance company, get a list of your providers, and talk to a therapist, man. They're fantastic.
Absolutely. Well, and also, I mean, a big part of witchcraft throughout history has been the idea of a coven. And a coven is not just like a group of people you cast spells with. It's people that you share your dreams with, you share your ideas with, you share your worries with them. You discuss these things. It is a form of therapy. You're constantly discussing, the darkness in you, the shadowy part of yourself with your coven. Your therapist can easily be a part of your coven if a coven is something that you work with.
Yeah.
Here's a fun question sent in by Ariel, and I don't know, I have an answer for it. I don't know if you guys have an answer for it, but what does a day in the life of a witch look like?
Oh my goodness. Probably not what you're picturing.
I know, that's what I said. I said not much different than normal life, normal non-witch person.
Which again, like, goes back to the idea of movies and TV shows, where it's like there's something that you imagine that it is, and then what it really is.
Yeah. To paint a mental image right now, I'm in cutoff shorts, a tie-dyed tube top, and my hair is in like the dirtiest bun on top of my head.
Same.
I am wearing a pentagram, so like that's the only witchy thing I've got going for me right now.
Yeah.
There's an aesthetic that everybody really likes, and of course when I feel like putting in the energy, like, I will, you know, I will try to live up to that aesthetic. But since it is just so much for my own well-being, a lot of time witchcraft looks like no makeup, in my sweatpants, like sitting in my back office with like just a candle and a stick of incense. And I mean, there are days too where it's like, okay, I have to clean my space, and things are just pushed to the edge of the room in a circle around me. Yeah. Like, I can't like clean up this mess yet. I'll just get it out of this space. Like, yeah, it's not as glamorous as you might be picturing.
Oh, not even close to glamorous. Yeah. And I was like, in this moment, also a sweaty, disgusting hair bun on top of my head. I do have some pink roses sitting in front of me right now, which I love after you just touched on that. A little bit of tea in front of me, which could be my own little witch's brew. But usually when I'm actually doing something with my crystals or my candles, I have a face mask on, like some shiny or super cakey thing on my face. Again, bun on my head, in my sweats, no bra, you best believe. And just sitting like in my bathroom or in our bedroom while I listen to or try to drown out the sound of my son screaming in the living room. And I have to drown him out. I love him. But if I'm trying to have a meditation, I'm just like, Lauren, just tune in. Let's go. Maybe turn a little light noise on. But I usually look like I've been through a war right before I do something. Yeah. That's kind of my look.
I think that this question for me pairs really great with two other questions that were sent in. Chelsea asked for lazy witch tips, and Andy asked for closet witch tips because she is surrounded by religious people, so she needs to hide her craft. So first of all, thank you girls for sending in these questions. Yes. They're great. And that's kind of my answer. Like, I... It might smell different. I feel like I always smell like Florida water and patchouli, but I still... put on my slacks and I go to work in my office and I cook dinner and I watch Netflix and I take a bath and I go to sleep. It's just that when I go to work, I usually have a crystal or a charm around my neck or in my pocket. If I feel like I need something a little extra during the day to help out, when I cook dinner, I try to do so with intention. I will look up the sort of mystical or medicinal powers of each ingredient, and I think about those things as I add them to the dish. When I take my bath, I do so with oils and herbs and soaps that align with what I'm needing at the time, and I might drink a tea that matches that as well. And before I go to sleep, I set my intentions for the night's rest, and the next morning when I wake up, I set my intentions for the day. So yeah, my days don't look any different than the average person's unless you're in my head. By observing me, you'd never know I was performing witchcraft. Totally. You just think I was going about my day.
Yeah, that answers both the lazy and the closet, where it's like nobody is seeing anything from the outside. And yeah, to piggyback off that, like cooking is the biggest one for me because, again, the reason I was like, oh, yeah, I've celebrated this question was because when it comes to lazy witchcraft, like me being an exhausted, lazy mom, it is perfect for me to find these little like hidden ways to practice during the day. And cooking is such a huge one for me. Like I love, like Ashley said, finding what each thing means as I'm putting it together. But also, if I have something really specific that I'm, you know, trying to set my intention for, trying to get in the headspace for, I will go out and, you know, on my next grocery shopping trip, I'm trying to find that herb. I'm trying to find that something that I can mix into my meal or mix into my tea. And it's something that I'm just doing while my child is in the next room watching Blippi on YouTube. And it's like, I'm still fitting it in. And I hope to take a bath at the end of the day with my crystals surrounding me, setting my intention once again. But also, if all you can fit in is a quick shower, maybe again, like find an herb or find some sort of like bath salt equivalent that you can like throw in at the base of your shower while it's in there. You know, it's going to be filling up the steam and set your intention. Like Ashley said, be thinking about what you just used, what spice, what whatever you just put around you, and set your intention even while you're taking your quick shower just trying to survive. And it can totally work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No one needs to know you're performing witchcraft.
Nope.
Yeah, because it all really is just for you.
It is.
Like, it can be all internal. Nobody has to know.
You know, some people might say, oh, that's a very, you know, oh, it's a selfish practice or a selfish religion, but when you look at it compared to a religion or a practice like Buddhism, you know, it's the same thing. It's all about yourself and finding a peace within yourself and raising your energy and it's et cetera, et cetera. But yes, it is about yourself. But the whole point is to make yourself the best version of yourself so that when you do go out into the world, you can, you know, quote unquote, be the change you want to see.
Totally.
You can inspire other people to follow in what you are doing or just, you know, I talk about this a lot on the show about the idea of karma, about how it's not you do something bad and then something bad's going to come back to you. All karma is trying to make sure that every person you interact with during the day, you leave them with a good impression, a good feeling, you leave them with positivity. So that maybe their next interaction is also going to be positive and it causes a chain forward. Reaction of positivity. And that's what karma is.
You get back what you put into the world.
Yeah. And so if you are constantly spreading that peacefulness, that positivity, that high vibration, you're going to see it start coming back to you. You're going to see it start to happen more so around you as well. So it's not selfish at all.
Totally.
Yeah.
And you have to fill your cup to fill other people's cups too. Exactly. Like that's, I was going to say, bringing it back to therapy, you know, if anybody is out there saying like, maybe this is just too woo woo for me, if we haven't gotten our point across, going to therapy, actually seeking out a doctor, they will tell you that same thing. My sweet angel therapist, Amy, has really told me that, gosh, probably every single session where she's like, hey, you're a bit burnt out. If you do this, this, and this, and we work towards this, you are going to be able to fill other people's cups. And she is always correct. When I am setting intentions for myself, when I'm showing care and love to myself, that makes me a better person to then take care of those around me better, to be a better wife, to be a better mother, to be a better friend, sister, daughter, whatever it is. Fill your own cup up and then you can pour into others.
We are nearing the end. Why don't we do some quickies?
Let's go.
Oh, yes, please.
All right. Beata asks, what is the worst tarot card you can get in your opinion? What is the best tarot card you can get in your opinion? Lauren, do you have any?
I do. Again, I'm like slowly learning, but I feel like, well, A, Busy Bee Coven kind of changed this for me because I was always scared of the Tower because it felt like a collapse. It felt like a rock bottom, but it can also be a sign for you to, you know, alter your life and turn things around and start fresh, which I loved that outlook. But the Tower has always scared me. And then also it was one of the swords. Why am I blanking on it now?
Seven.
Is it Seven of Swords? I was like, it's either seven or nine.
Oh, it might be nine. It's the one where the guy's laying in bed. Yes, and that is fucking swords are above him.
In bed. Yeah, the like pains that we carry with us and like, yeah, just like things that haunt us and keep us awake. It's kind of like despair, worry, anxiety, as we've been talking about. So that one worries me a lot.
Mm-hmm. Laura?
I don't know. I have a favorite card, but it's very personal to me. I love the Wheel of Fortune card.
It's a just great means, card.
Lots of change is coming your way. And I once had a reading and someone told me that that was my life card, that I was very adaptable to change. Okay. So I was like, all right, very cool.
That's a good thing to be. I am not.
Seriously.
I don't want to change anything. Don't if change you change something on me, I will lose my mind.
I think that's why I really don't have a... like worse, like there's no worse or bad tarot card
for
me.
Too good of a perspective.
Because I mean, that's the kind of thing about tarot is there like, are no depending good or on bad the context.
Cards. Listen, yeah, I know.
Like I could get
I
could get something that means like everything's coming to an end. And if I was doing you know, something about my career, I'd be like, oh, that's terrible. But if I was doing something about you know, a bad relationship with a friend, great, it's coming to an end. Like, it really is all about context. And sometimes it tells you what you don't want to hear. But
it's tough, you know. Love, baby.
Well, and like you were saying earlier, divination does not mean fortune telling. The cards aren't telling you, they're not telling you, like, this is going to happen. I know that they do in the movies, but that's not what they do. They just sort of, they make you think about a situation in a different way, possibly, that you maybe didn't see beforehand because you're, I mean, it's just like talking to a therapist. Like, you are thinking about the situation, you're so set in your thoughts, and then you can, like, draw some tarot cards and be like, well, I didn't think about it that way. That's actually a good point. You know what I mean?
It provides different perspectives.
Yeah. And there are obviously cards that do represent, you know, deep sadness like the Nine of Swords or chaos and tragedy like the Tower. But no card is a bad card, including the Devil, including Death, including the Hanged Man, which seem to be very popular in film and television as like bad cards. They're not bad cards in any way.
I love getting death in a reading. Like, death is like, okay, something's ending, and that's fine.
I agree.
For me.
Death, I've come around to death.
It's a new beginning, too. Rebirth. So it's exciting. To be honest, my least favorite cards to draw are the Knights, Pages, Queens, and Kings because I never seem to have any connection to them, and I find it very hard to remember their meaning. So
that's
I'm
totally
really excited for Busy Bee Coven to get to these in her Tarot Tuesday.
Teach us. That is very true.
All right, Chris asks, what adds the most flavor to a witch's brew? Is it Eye of Newt, Raven's Beak, or Puppy's Fart?
What was the last one? What did you say?
Puppy's Fart.
Puppy's Fart?
Yeah, and here's the thing. Never, never add a puppy fart to a spell unless you're trying to destroy the world. Don't even joke about this, Chris.
Oh, my God.
Oh, but can a puppy fart be, like, cute? Or no? Is that just terrible?
Have you smelled a puppy fart?
I
Have
guess
you been
that's true.
In a room with a puppy fart?
My 10-year-old puppy literally farted in my face this morning while I was laying in bed. So, no,
and
puppy farts are not
barely
cute.
Alive.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
I was 2 seconds away from turning into Cruella DeVille.
Which TV movie, multiple people sent this one in, which TV movie witch is your favorite and why? Laura?
Ooh, I'm going to go with Mad Madam Mim.
Oh,
just because she's
love her.
Super quirky and just lives alone in an old cabin doing exactly what she wants all day, every day.
Did you ever end up doing that Halloween costume? We talked about this once.
I did. When I had bright purple hair, yeah, I went as Mad Madam Mim, and it was fantastic.
Lauren?
It's Jilly, Nicole Kidman in Practical Magic. She's my favorite witch. Jillian. Yeah, I was aww, like, I feel like Sandra Bullock calls her Jilly, and so that was in my head, or maybe it's her grandmother's, but yep. She's a disaster and a hot mess, but she's also mm-hmm. like the confident energy that I wish I had in my life. So I'm still going to say her, even putting the mess aside.
Yeah. Even though I don't actually love this season as much as everyone else, I do have to say my favorite witches are Fiona, Cordelia, and Myrtle from American Horror Story Coven. Queens!
Ooh.
Queens!
They are queens. Fucking queens. Queens. You're not wrong, Ashley. Very good.
Last question, Beata sent this one in. Thank you, Beata. We got two questions from Beata today. What is a witchy meal that I can cook up?
Ooh.
And if you have specific recipes, we can always add them to the newsletter as well. But
I was
absolutely
going to say,
go.
I was like, I have some too.
So no, I looked this one up just for Beata. the summer solstice is coming up on the 22nd, 21st of this month. So I have a watermelon salad with cucumber and feta.
Oh shit.
I'm about to
watermelon
fuck with that,
and
Laura.
Cucumber contain the energies of water and the moon, and both are associated with healing. Bring the salad to a river, lake, or other body of water and enjoy a peaceful, restorative picnic in nature.
Yes. Summer.
It sounds so refreshing.
Yes.
I actually think I will try and do this recipe for an upcoming Witchy Wednesday. That way we can do like a full tutorial. We can also add it to the newsletter or Patreon.
That's something we didn't quite talk about, actually, and that is using different elements of nature. I know we talked about nature a little bit, but like using the different elements of nature and matching them with what you're wanting. I know that like, and I'll post this in the newsletter as well, different ways to like set up altars. A lot of people want one of every element, and for witchcraft, those are air, fire, earth, water, and spirit. There's a fifth element there for us witches. So
love that.
For example, for earth, you can have a crystal that counts. Crystals count. You can do a bowl of salt, a jar of dirt, coins, because they're made from materials from the earth. Water. You can just have a jar of water. You could have seashells. Seashells represent water.
I've got seashells on mine. Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. Used it today in your Witchy Wednesday.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. For fire, candles, duh. And for air, you can have incense. You can have feathers. I actually, my favorite thing to use for air is a bell or a wind chime, because ooh, when air flows through it, it makes sound. And then the spirit elements, those are the things we've talked about, like runes are great, totems, offerings, tarot decks, or even photographs. Like, you can make your altar something that's filled with photographs of the people that mean the most to you. Like, that is an element of spirit that you can put in there. Or your ancestors. I consider my entire office my altar, and it's got a lot of my ancestral things in here. A lot of pictures of my great-grandparents and things like that. Because those are the people that I usually call on to help me in my craft.
Love it.
That's awesome.
So good.
I have all four elements. I didn't know about the fifth element. That's really cool.
That is amazing.
Also, I just heard what I said, the fifth element.
Lauren, did you say you had a witchy meal?
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say I will include a couple of things that I have been just mixing. It's not even necessarily a meal, but I do have some recipes that I thought I would include probably in our next newsletter.
Do it. We'll have a very witchy newsletter.
Yes, I was going to say.
A delicious newsletter.
Let's go with the theme. I was going to include some specific recipes, but honestly, something that I've been working with a ton lately has been rosemary, which is just like, ooh, I have found has been just such a good thing to mix into everything. And also, I'm a huge fan of garlic, and I always have been, and I know that that can be a little bit of a protection herb.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, I was just going to say rosemary and garlic are my heroes. And again, that goes with my lazy witchcraft practice. Just throw that in while you're cooking and it's perfect.
We'll talk about lazy witchcraft. Everyone uses this. Black pepper.
Black pepper
is used to banish negativity. It offers protection and it helps you with inner strength. So as you add pepper to your meal, focus on that. Focus on strength. Focus on protection. Focus on banishing negativity, whatever it is that you want. Mint. Everyone loves a mint tea. Mint promotes energy, communication, vitality. Literally every meal you make can be witchy. It's all about mindfulness and intention. And you've got yourself a witchy meal or a witchy bath or a witchy tea or a witchy cream. a witchy balm. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say hazelnut also was found to be a good one. Like, yeah, it was like hazelnut is a cream that I will add to, again, coffees and teas and desserts. And you can make really good cakes. Some good divination cakes, everybody. Gosh, yeah. I have so much to share on the newsletter. It's
and all that is, you know, these are things that we use every day. I put hazelnut creamer in my coffee just about every morning. And all it is, some days it's just hazelnut creamer. And some days I put it in and I stir and I think about it. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's all you're doing. That's what a spell is, essentially, is just putting that energy into that thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, Ashley. Speak that truth.
Well, this has been amazing. I hope you guys learned a ton. And thank you so much for tuning in once again. And thank you so much, Laura, for joining us today and bringing us wisdom for your magical mind.
It was so much fun to be back.
We love having you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you'll be hearing from Laura once or twice a season for these special witchy episodes. So if you ever, ever have questions about witchcraft or being a witch or how to make your life more magical, send them to keepitweirdpodcast@gmail.com with the subject line witchcraft, and we'll make sure to store them away for the next episode. You can also follow Laura on Instagram. We tag her every single week, but just in case you don't see it, it's at Lucky LaRue. LaRue is spelled LAREAU.
Nailed it.
I wasn't even looking at it.
Questioning in your voice.
You. I went up at the end.
It's a weird one. It's a weird one.
I know, but what a fantastical witchy name, though.
It is.
Thank you.
Even as I was saying it in the intro, I was like, Laura LaRue, what a witch.
What a witch. Laura, just in case, I don't know if you do you have anything to plug?
No.
It's okay to say no. Yeah, me neither.
Neither, girl. I got nothing going on.
Not a lot. You covered it all.
All right. Well, make sure you guys donate to our Patreon at www.patreon.com/keepitweirdpodcast. This month's newsletter obviously will include a couple spells, the candle spell, some candle magic, some food spells, some altar setups. They're very accessible for you to try at home and see how they make you feel. You'll also get bonus episodes, at least two every single month, sometimes three, which is pretty dope if you ask me. And you'll also have access to all of the audio files from our latest Limp Mansion investigation, unedited, completely raw. So if you want to listen for yourself for some spooky moments that didn't make it into the episode or some possible ghostly voices I didn't catch while editing, you can do so by donating even as little as $1 to our show. And also, please follow us on social media at Keep It Weirdcast, where we post about upcoming episodes and where we have Tarot Tuesdays with Busy Bee Coven as she teaches us the tarot cards one by one in detail, and obviously Witchy Wednesdays with Laura LaRue here. We tag her every week and she teaches us how to embrace our inner witch bitch. Thank you so much again for listening. We hope you have a fantastic week and get ready for a very special Stephen King episode followed by some true crime. June is going to be a very spooky indeed. Laura, what's our sign-off this week?
Our sign-off this week, let's just make it a challenge for the listener. Guys, today I want you to find 60 seconds of calm. Just put a timer on your phone, do exactly 60 seconds, no distractions, just silence, thinking about calm. Does that work? A challenge?
That is
instead of a sign-off?
Perfect. That is perfect.
It's great.
It sounds like nothing, but I really do challenge you. It'll be trickier than you thought.
Light a candle and stare at the flame until you go insane. And always keep it
mother truckin' weird.
Beep boop bop boop. Ba da 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 day. Da 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 day. Da 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 day. This is your night. Together forever, cause
this is the night.